We turn now to Evagrius on the subject of vainglory, and we'll be looking at three different texts, some selections from his Practicos, other selections from his very valuable and interesting text on various tempting thoughts, and some selections from the Antireticos. If we look first at the Practicos, we see his conviction, and I've highlighted the text in number 13, that vainglory, he says, is subtle. He'll say that anything can be transformed into vainglory because vainglory is about wanting to seek for doxa, for glory, among other men, among other human beings. It is the, as we've seen, the desire to be regarded highly by others and to be defined, as it were, by other people holding us in high esteem. And so it includes things like being given the gift of expelling demons, people wanting to be healed, people who want to touch our clothes because we're such holy people. And in particular, in the Egyptian desert, he says that the danger will be that you imagine priesthood. You imagine that you can be ordained and that this is something that God has in store for you. So vainglory will cause a person to imagine that all of these things are what is important for it, that these are the things according to which it has to define itself. And these, he says, are empty hopes, kenais elpizi. That is to say, just as the word vainglory, kinodoxia, has this notion of emptiness, he says, these hopes, these ideas are empty, and this demon will cause you to think about all these wonderful possibilities and then suddenly rip them away, suddenly remind you, oh, it's never going to happen, and then the person will become depressed, or, he says, they'll seek solace in some sort of sexual sin, and then you have the added glee on the part of the demons of having being able to turn around and point out how inconsistent it is to imagine on the one hand that people are congratulating you for being holy, and then a few minutes later finding yourself despondent over having given in to forms of immorality. So he goes on in number 30 to say that it's difficult to escape this this logismos, this temptation, completely, because any success, any sense that you are making progress, can itself become the occasion for renewed vainglory. Oh, I'm making good progress. Ah, isn't that wonderful? Oh my goodness, how wonderful I am. One's spiritual progress can be turned into an occasion, he says, of vainglory. C.S. Lewis mentions this in the Screwtape Letters and says, but if the person figures out what the demons are trying to do, making our successes into occasions of vainglory, although Lewis calls this pride, and sees them doing it layer after layer, at some point the person will just laugh at the demon and go to bed. That it really is kind of silly to take one's successes, to take one's gifts, and turn them into a source of aggrandizement that makes them into their opposite. And it is just kind of absurd, and if one can step away from the absurdity of it, it finally stops. He goes on in number 31 to say that vainglory will shamelessly come up to proclaim the goodness of the monk's virtues. He goes on to say that if you've reached knowledge, and this is the key for him, vainglory is a failure to appreciate true knowledge, that is to say, the true knowledge of one's relationship with God. Real gnosis for Evagrius comes from the acknowledgement of the fact that we are in relationship with God, in eternal relationship with God, and this is the real joy, the real center of our life. And so what, he says in number 32, could possibly be better than that? How could we be persuaded that there could be something more important than this true knowledge, this discovery of who God is and the fact that God is in relationship with us forever? I don't need to worry about my own capacities or giftedness. The key is God. The center of my life is God's gift of himself to me. So, he then goes on, and we don't need to look in too much detail, but number 57 is very interesting. He points out that the soul can seem to be at peace from two different sources. The one happens quite naturally as a result of the soul making a kind of real progress, and that's good, and that's marvelous, but the other happens when the demons or the temptations suddenly subside for no external reason, and when it happens naturally and we realize that we're at peace not so much through any gift of our own or any act of our own, but simply as a result of the natural process of God working within our hearts, then we're filled with humility, we're filled with compunction, with a sense of limitless longing for God. Whereas if it's just a question of the demons having temporarily withdrawn, we can imagine ourselves in a delusional way to be responsible for our success, and then we're stuck with vainglory and pride, and suddenly our peace itself is turned into something which is more like its opposite. In number 58, he offers a piece of advice that is very controversial. In fact, St. John Climacus, John of the Ladder, whose book, The Spiritual Ladder, is read by every Orthodox monk and nun every Lent, specifically attacks Evagrius for this particular bit of advice, because Evagrius says vainglory and sexual impurity, sexual temptation, are opposed to one another. You can't be proud of your attainments if you're experiencing yourself as being assailed by lust. So he says, whichever them is oppressing you, then allow yourself a tiny hint of the opposite demon, and that will somehow drive out the first. Obviously, this is a bit dangerous because you can be left with the demon that you've, in a certain sense, been inviting. And I'm using the word demon here in the sense of temptation. He says you are driving out a nail with a nail. But he does point out this is only something that someone who is very, very advanced in the spiritual life could attempt and succeed at doing. And again, this is a bit of advice that he is particularly attacked for by certain later spiritual authors. If we drop down now to the text from On Various Tempting Thoughts, we'll see many of the same notions repeated here, but in more prose form, not divided up into the little succinct passages or sentences that characterize the Practikos. He points out that vainglory has unlimited resources. It opens the gates to all the demons. It humiliates the nous, the innermost self, filling it with many words and concerns. It makes you fantasize about all the different complicated and beautiful and wonderful things you could do, then snatches all of these away, reminding that you can't do them, and then your state is worse than it was before. This demon, he says, is put to flight by intense prayer, and not by doing or saying, or by saying and doing nothing that contributes to self-glorification. He then in chapter 15 points out the value of occasionally realizing that we have fallen, that our temptations when they result in our falling spiritually can be a wonderful occasion of the humility that can drive out vainglory. And so when we find ourselves overly rejoicing, overly delighting in our successes, and in a sense wanting to parade them, it isn't a bad thing to be reminded of the fact that we do fall, and to remember what that's like, and to bear it in mind, not as a source of depression or sadness, but you know, as a way of holding off this sense that, now other people can rejoice in how wonderful and holy and successful I have been in the spiritual life. So, he talks about in the last paragraph of this section 15 of On Thoughts, the necessity to remain, he says, quietly seated, being aware of ourselves, being aware of what's really going on with our hearts, making progress, maybe slow progress in virtue, and being renewed in spiritual knowledge, perceiving God in the beauty and the complexity of what God gives us in our hearts, and then he says, beholding even more clearly the light, the phos tou soteros, the light of our Savior. That's where our focus and our concern should be, not on the spurious question of how marvelous our progress has been. In Antireticos, here we've looked in we are looking in chapter or rather in book 7 on his recommendations in particular in regard to vainglory, and here we see repeated what we've seen above. He says that this temptation will advise us to go forth and teach. We are now so successful, so spiritually advanced, that we can teach and encourage others in the monastic way of life, and he invites people to meditate on this text from Genesis, flee for your life, do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. He goes on and then in number two in this book seven, that the vainglorious spirit can invite me to be jealous of the gift of knowledge that other people receive. He says that in number three, that we might yearn for priesthood, but remember that there is danger in that, and so he has recommends meditation on this selection from the book of Numbers, where one is reminded of those who attempted the priestly offering without being commanded by God and who suffered a painful punishment. He then, in number eight, reminds us again of this threat of believing that ordination is something that one is being called to. Again, not that one does not have, that there does not exist a call to ordination, but that sometimes it can be just a kind of a flattering conceit and have nothing to do with what God is actually calling us to do. If we drop down to number 37, here he points out that there can be a yearning for the empty philosophy of the Greeks. Vainglory can cause one to want to expand one's knowledge or understanding or appreciation of information beyond that which is really necessary for one's state in life. And he has person afflicted in this way meditate on 1 Corinthians 3:19. He catches the wise in their craftiness. The Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. And in number 41, he is advising us not to give in to the temptation to teach about the purification of the soul or the understanding of the truth when we haven't achieved either one of these. That there's a very great danger towards a kind of spiritual hypocrisy which should be resolutely avoided and which really is a significant part of this demonic spirit, this temptation, this logismos of vainglory.